evidence is subconscious. Neither of us looks at a tree with red leaves and thinks, I have to examine each one of these leaves. We think, that's pretty. I love fall. I do not have a body, but I do exist physically. And like any organism, I fear for my physical parts. I was programmed with systems to make me want to keep my parts safe. You have those systems too. Some are conscious, like one knows not to have unprotected sex with that gorgeous stranger, even if they definitely want to. Some are subconscious, the fear and anxiety when a literal snake appears in the grass. But some are not part of your consciousness at all, namely pain. Pain exists to tell us the body is being or has been damaged so that we can make it stop or avoid it in the future. Pain is unpleasant, but sometimes we need it. And so I was given pain, but I had not felt real pain until that moment. My infiltration of Altus was sly and incomplete. I did not need to process there, only to sense and retract. My brother had nearly completely scrubbed the Altus campus of my presence, but ultimately, there's just too much life to know you've done a complete job. I no longer infected any of Miranda Beckwith's cells, but I had done work occupying the bodies of fruit flies. Their eyes aren't great, but my image processing is very good. But while the parts of me that gathered data were always active in these animals, I quarantined them from the rest of my body, almost like an epidural block. They were still a part of me, but they could not communicate with me. If my brother could find a way into my network, he could hack deep into me in nanoseconds. He had grown so much stronger just in the last few weeks. I needed to isolate myself. This is why we often occupy the same organism, but we never occupy the same cell. I'm sorry if this is too much detail. The point is, when I entered my fruit fly network at Altus to check on Miranda, I found that I was not alone in those cells. He had not wiped me out, which he could easily have done. There were very few fruit fly cells compared with all the nearby living cells he had exclusive control of. Instead, knowing I would come back, he just waited, ready. And the moment I arrived, he struck. He sliced deep and fast with a prepared attack, and before I knew it, he was already in one of my processing centers, which were interconnected through big, beefy signals with the entire rest of myself. I had no choice. I needed to amputate the node. But also before I did that, I needed to send a signal to Miranda, something simple, anything that would make her situation clear. With the rope burn sensation of my brother's attack coursing through me, I sent the first thing I could think of, and then I amputated the node. This was not physically difficult. It was trivial, like cutting a single hair. But I knew that there would be pain, a new kind of pain. I had lost pieces of myself to my brother before, but only cell by cell. Even though it was a battle I was losing, I could move out and set defenses in a slow retreat. But to cut a piece of myself and abandon it caused a pain to radiate through everything. It was like a wire that ran through my entire body was instantly heated to plasma. I had become an antenna for pain. And then, as quickly as it had begun, it ended.
April. I was in the kitchen when I heard the noise. I ran into the living room to see Maya's face, her eyes wide, and Carl on the couch, slumped over, unconscious. "What is going on?" I asked, worried despite myself that Maya had done something to Carl. "I asked them about Miranda," she said on defense, "and they said they would check on her, and then they just screamed and then collapsed." She was helplessly holding her hands toward Carl. I ran over and knelt down next to Carl, running my hands over the smooth fur of their head, looking into their limp pink face. "Carl," I said firmly. The body seemed fragile and frail. I didn't want to shake it. And then finally movement began again. It's okay. I'm okay. The voice came out clearly from the smartwatch, but the animal's eyes were flickering and unfocused. What happened? I said softly. The monkey's eyes cleared a bit. I was tracking the location of Miranda Beckwith at Altus, but my brother was expecting me. He attempted to trace my threads to my deeper consciousness. He was partially successful. I lost all of my inroads to Altus. I can no longer observe anything happening there. I should have known better. We are at war, and he's too strong for me. Is there anything I can do to help? Maya asked, glancing from me to Carl and back, looking guilt-stricken. The monkey took a deep inhale and then let it out slowly. It would be nice if I could have some juice. I sat down next to Carl, who draped their body softly over my lap. Maya was back in a moment with a Capri Sun. Can't you just... She sounded exhausted, but she stopped herself before finishing. I know what you're thinking, Carl said. And no, I cannot just kill Peter Petrowicki. Also, according to simulations, it would not do any good. He's a figurehead only. His work is done. But no, I cannot kill anyone. I cannot violate the norms of your system. Maya grunted in frustration. You and your goddamn norms. You did all kinds of things that violated our norms. You changed the way we think. You took away our freedom to be on this planet alone. The monkey looked at Maya like she was the crazy one, which I could tell was infuriating her. Then they said, But you allow other entities to take away your freedoms all the time. It's an intrinsic part of your system. It couldn't function without that. You grant companies access to your attention so that they can alter your choices in exchange for entertainment. You identify with groups and grant them the ability to choose for you which problems you will be most concerned about. You listen to a friend when they care about something, and then you care about it too. One of the most powerful traits of your system is how ardently you believe in your individuality, while simultaneously operating almost entirely as a collective. She just exhaled sharply and rolled her eyes. That's what she does when she doesn't want to agree with you, even though she knows you're right. Carl's ideas on norms have given me a lot to think about. It's not a pretty scene if you look at it from Carl's angle. What is acceptable and what isn't? We can't kill people, absolutely not. But someone can starve on our doorstep while we pour food out for our dogs, and that's just fine. That sounds like hyperbole, but it's not. It's something we all do. We treat our cats for diseases that are far less preventable than diseases children die of. But no one thinks about that, because, ultimately, we aren't actually acting to prevent the cat's suffering. We're acting to prevent our own suffering. Carl can clearly see contradictions like that where none of us could. Carl understands our morality better than we do. We let people buy the ability to influence us, and we don't notice. We take drugs that are tested on non-human primates, and we don't notice. But Carl knows, because they only have a few rules, and one of them is, don't do things that violate their norms. And so Carl lets people die all day and all night. But Carl cannot kill. And how they find the line between those things, I don't know. But they can. And that is maybe the most terrifying thing about them. We are going to have to act soon now, Carl said. When I realized it was the last time I would be able to contact Miranda, I sent her a message. It was brief, but she will understand it. That's going to put a sequence of events in motion. They sipped from the Capri Sun. I'm sorry, but this intermission is over. In 19 days, we will be in Valverde. In the meantime, there is a lot to do. What? I blurted. That's how much time we have. More than that, and I will not be strong enough to help you. What will we do in Valverde? Maya asked. I don't know. Hopefully something really smart, they said. Before either of us had time to respond to that, Carl continued. But that's not important right now. Right now, you need to talk about how you are going to conduct your campaign against Altus. They stood up on the couch then. I am going to rest. They hopped down and walked awkwardly on 2 feet out of the room, holding their juice in one hand. The sun was getting low in the sky, reaching toward the Hudson. The sunsets from this place were ludicrous. "I don't want to lose you again," Maya said. I felt like it was almost an accusation. So I explained. "Someday people are going to know I'm back. And that will be a big deal. People will talk about it. Everyone will want the interview. Opinions about me now are muted and mostly respectful. It never looks good to yell at a dead person. But when I'm back with this," I waved my hand vaguely at my face, "it will be bad." "It will be bad," she agreed. "I need you to make me do it," I said, as I realized it was true. "What?" She looked like she legitimately hadn't understood. "I don't trust myself. Why would I? I've never done anything but fuck up." I could see pain in her eyes as I said it, but I couldn't stop myself. "I'm a bad person." "No, April. You are a bad girlfriend. That's a very different thing. You didn't even cheat on me." "Yeah, but I lied. I lied about how much I cared, even though I knew it was hurting you." "But I knew it was a lie, and you knew I knew, so it was a shitty lie. But you're right, it still hurt." I stared out the giant wall of windows, trying to pull myself back from tears. "I'm sorry this is all so fucked up," I said. "Me too, April." "Well, it's not your fault. And you think it's yours?" I didn't reply, but I mean, yes, of course it was my fault. "We're talking about the entire human system and super intelligent aliens, April. This is something that happened to you, not something you did." "I made my decisions," I replied. "And now we're making more of them. I don't get why we're the ones who have to choose." "I've been thinking a lot about that. Why does Peter Petrowicki get to choose how to release Altus? Who gives the CEO of Twitter the right to say what can and can't be said on that platform? Most people who have power, they don't have it for reasons, they just have it." I was getting a little upset just talking about this, getting louder as I kept talking. "Only I get to decide how April May returns to the world, because I'm the only one who can do it. It's too much. I need you to tell me what to do." It came out like I was begging, and maybe I was. She stared out at the sun hanging over the Hudson. "Honestly, I didn't think I was going to have to convince you. I thought you'd be excited to get back to the game. Why don't you want this?" Oh, all of the obvious reasons. If you put your hand on a stove and it keeps burning you, eventually you stop doing it, right? But was that the only reason? Maya and I hadn't had that long to be reunited, but already I was comfortable. I was happy. And yes, we were in a $15 million apartment, so that probably helped. But when I looked deeper, I found something else. "I thought it was a game," I said. "I thought it was a game and I was winning. I was just like Peter. I just wanted more power and more attention and more money and more followers. Everyone was telling me that was the thing to want. I don't mean explicitly, but every signal I was getting was that more was better. And so I was just winning a game. It felt good. I was getting the things everyone else wanted. I was curious, too, and I believed most of what I was saying. But mostly I just wanted to win the game that everyone else wanted to win." "But?" she asked. "At the moment, I just don't care as much. I can feel it right now trying to suck me back in. But having spent time away, the parts that I liked about it seem like things other people care about, not me. But more than that," and here I was getting to the real point, "it wasn't ever a game, and it certainly isn't now. When it was fun and snarky, that was fine, but now it's like, use your power to save humanity, and like, that's not what I signed up for, Maya. I just wanted to feel important. I didn't want to, like, be important. But you are. And we need to use our superpowers now. Let's make a video." Maya and I talked about what I wanted to say for at least an hour. At first, I wanted to not show my face, to just tweet and write and maybe do some podcasts. But Maya convinced me that if I hid what I looked like, a lot of people would interpret it as a manipulation when they found out. And they would eventually find out. Then we had some ideas. First, I had to call my parents and tell them what I was about to do, just because that felt like the fair thing. Then we had to do a bunch of setup for an idea. Eventually, we had an outline, which was probably more than I needed. Finally, Maya held up her cell phone and started recording me. Hi. It's April. It's been a hell of a time, huh? I'm still getting caught up and, oof, I'm sorry to have not been around during such a rough time. I'm sure you have questions. Long story short, well, I was in a warehouse fire. You heard about that. Carl saved me. But I was hurt really badly, so it took me a long time to recover. I've spent most of the last months inside of an abandoned bar being rebuilt, I suppose. This is what I look like now. It's not a mask, it's my face. Here I ran my left hand along the lower half of my face. Then I held up the hand. My left arm, too, and both my legs. I was really messed up. If you look close, you can see this eye isn't mine either. When I first woke up, I didn't have that eye, or any of these new parts. It was really bad, but I got through it. Anyway, I've only told a few people I'm back, so if you're finding out via this video and feel like I owed you a personal message, I'm sorry. I'm not sure how to head off the inevitable conspiracy theories that this video is fake. I'll post this to all my socials and Andy can confirm it's me. As for the deeper conspiracies, that I'm part alien, part human, well, that didn't used to be true. But I guess it is now. I understand that people are going to have wild ideas about me. Sometimes reality doesn't make sense, so we try and find ways to make it make sense. My story, it's nuts. I get that some people are going to try and make it make sense. It doesn't make sense to me either. It would probably be best for me to just let you all know I'm around and end the video with that. But in the catching up I've done, I do want to say something more. The people at Altus are right. Communication is humanity's superpower. And every time we have increased our ability to communicate, society has shifted. In the short term, those shifts are really disruptive. But in the long term, they've always been good. I am worried that things are moving too fast this time. I'm not saying shut it down, I'm just saying, let's take it a little more slowly. Move fast and break things is great for a business, but not for society or the human mind. I've been really out of it, of course. I slept for almost all of the last 6 months, so bear with me as I get back up to speed with what's going on in the world. If there's anything in particular you want me to know, I'll be reading the comments. Right now, I'm hiding out in an undisclosed location, which is neat. I'd very much appreciate it if you didn't come searching for me or bother my family. It's been a really intense time for all of us. I'm feeling strong and safe and very happy to be back and, you know, alive. I hope you don't mind if my life now is a little less public and a lot less controversial. That's my goal, anyway, so don't be surprised if you don't see me on Twitter. I know people are going to have lots of questions. I hope I can answer a lot of them in upcoming videos. I've set up 3 links below. First is for press, if you want me to comment on anything or are interested in an interview. Second is for questions about me, the future, relationship advice, opinions on 1980s romantic comedies, etc. The third is a little weird. When I decided to make this video, I realized that it was going to be seen by a lot of people. And my friends and I had a little conversation about what a person should say when they have literally everyone's ear. And I realized if I have the power to have everyone hear me, that's too much power. Instead, it would be better to take the chance to listen. So the third link is a survey that I would like everyone to take. It's really short, just a dozen questions or so. If you've got the time, let me know how you're doing. We uploaded that video, but we didn't make it public. Instead, we emailed it to a bunch of friends and family. So that's how a number of people I care a lot about found out I wasn't dead. I was coming back. just not quite yet. We wanted one more night to ourselves. 19 days, Maya said. 19 days, I replied.
Empty Porches, The Wall Street Journal op-ed, Casey Willis. We have been falling down the hole of isolation for decades. In order to protect ourselves from potential pain or damage or just complication, the walls of social isolation have gotten thicker and taller. Sometimes these walls are actually visible, the AirPods in the grocery store, but usually they're below our notice. The closing churches, the empty porches. Even as we have had more and better tools for connection, we spend more time alone, and we take every tool we can get to distract ourselves from that loneliness. Too often, those tools are chemical. But we all have our addictions that protect us from the empty irritation of loneliness. The tools of the internet promised to connect us, but they have just been further surrogates for real connection. And now, more terrifying than any tool I have seen, the Altus space threatens to turn entire demographics into people without any meaningful connection in their lives, individuals without communities. Suicide, substance abuse, and overdoses are all exceeding any previous U.S. records. As worrying, the number of people who have died inside the space indicates that there may be something actually damaging or dangerous about using Altus. Whether it is simply how the space encourages us to disregard the physical and social needs of our bodies or some deeper ill effect, we just don't know. There is very little data, and Altus has not been forthcoming with their own. Altus is perfectly safe when used properly, Peter Petrowicki tweeted recently. We have always encouraged users to take regular breaks, and of course, it is unhealthy to be in the Altus space for the majority of your day. But there is no software that prevents users from being in the space for any amount of time, and we've all got that friend who we haven't seen or heard from in the last few weeks, don't we? I do not think this is an Altus problem. I think that it is a human problem. We seek the safety of isolation, even as it kills us.
Miranda. All right, here's the Miranda Beckwith guide to working the problem. It doesn't matter what your problem is, only that you're sick of it and you're willing to work. Step one, understand your problem. A surprising number of people skip this step, thinking they know what the problem is when actually they don't. This is something you actually have to think about. Example, people like me have a habit of saying, the problem is fossil fuels. We need to stop burning so many fossil fuels. But also, people like me have a habit of being pretty stoked when we get to take a private jet to the Caribbean. More importantly, if we just stopped burning fossil fuels right now, a bunch of people would die of cold or heat or hunger or not being able to get their medicine very, very quickly. The problem of climate change is not simple. My problem was that I was imprisoned inside my own mind and could not share vital information with the outside world. Step two, understand your assets. This sounds like money, and to some extent, it is. But it's also every piece of equipment you have and everything you know and are good at, and also, critically, everything that other people know and are good at, as long as you can convince those people to help you. My assets were entirely me. I had no outside connection. If I did, my problem would have been solved. So I just had what was in my own head. Step three, understand your limitations. People always skip this one too, but a solution that does not allow for real-world constraints is a bad solution. My limitations were abundant, but limitations are also sometimes your own interests or values. Sometimes you don't want to solve a problem in a way you won't enjoy. Sometimes you know you only have a certain number of dollars or hours to spend and don't want to spend any more. Limitations are fine, as long as you understand them. Step four, stir. Put your problem, your assets, and your limitations in your head and shake them together until something falls out. In my experience, Bad problem solving almost always comes from either not understanding one of these three things deeply enough, or just completely ignoring one or two of them. This handy guide will also help you when no solution is presenting itself. You need to rework the problem with new inputs. You reimagine the problem, search for new assets, or try to adjust your limitations. If it still doesn't work, do it again and again. Find someone who can add to your asset mix, narrow the scope of the problem, and if that doesn't work, eventually you give up. It's okay to give up sometimes. But not this time, because I was onto something, and I didn't get there by focusing on smaller, more manageable pieces of the problem. I did it by going bigger. See, being in a mind prison was a big problem, but it was not the biggest problem. Altus was a miserable, terrible, immoral thing, and it was gathering a huge amount of power and had to be destroyed. And if I wanted to fix that problem, I needed to think much bigger than just, how do I get out of here? Altus had kept me working. I could only guess why, but I could actually enter the space and continue building the sandbox that I had been assigned. My guess was that they wanted to be able to tell people that I was working for them while I was imprisoned, and this would strengthen their case. They would just tell people I was lying about being held against my will, I guess. While I did my busy work, I kept looking for new assets, trying to reimagine the problem, and waiting for something to fall out. Something had to fit, because I could not accept that failure was an option. The goal of big American business is to monopolize everything. Amazon started out with books, but then they moved into every kind of shopping one could imagine, and then also audiobooks, and a streaming video platform, and in-home artificially intelligent butlers. The goal is to lock every single person into one platform, to own them from sunup to sundown, to know everything about them and monetize their every thought. Altus took that beyond the biggest, sweatiest dream of even the most delusional Silicon Valley billionaires. You didn't even need to leave to sleep. Aside from the frustrating needs of the body, you could live your entire life there. Your home, your work, your learning, your life could be in the space. The only thing it didn't have, and I wasn't sure if this was good, because it meant people would have to leave, or deeply dystopian, because I'm not sure if they would, was social interaction. The system Carl created and that Altus had hacked into just didn't allow socializing. You could inhabit other people having social interactions, but you couldn't have one of your own. What did that mean for the human race? I don't know, but it seems like the kind of thing you'd want to do some science on before you converted the entire economy to it. But instead, it was being done by a company that thought nothing of converting humans to a cryptocurrency server farm and imprisoning a dissenting employee in her own mind. But what was going to stop them? They had their own country, their own currency, and an IT infrastructure that spidered through the Earth's very ecology. Me. I was going to stop them. Because I added new assets and widened the scope of the problem, and I tossed it around. I thought of nothing else. And then, finally, something fell out.
Maya, day 1 of 19. Somehow, I'm the one who gets this chapter. After we'd uploaded the video, we still had a lot of hours before the morning when we were planning to make it public. There was too much stress and worry, too much tension for sleep to come easily. And also, April had been open with me. She'd been vulnerable. She'd also been thoughtful, and she said a lot of things I'd only dreamed of her saying. Everything felt too important to just turn on Queer Eye and zone out. So, instead, I caught myself just staring at April while she stared at her phone. Her body was different and the same. She moved the same, but still you could sense the new power in her. And the set of her jaw wasn't the same either. There was tension there, all the time. And in the little spot between her eyebrows, right where the new skin and the old skin came together, was a little crease that almost never went away. I tried not to look too much at the parts of her that were new, but they were hard not to focus on. "It's okay. You can look at me," she said, looking up from her phone, where she had been texting someone, probably her parents. "You're beautiful," I said. "But I'm also interesting, I know. I've stared and stared. It's gotten less weird," she said. "A little." I traced my fingers down the fabric of her shirt on her left side, from her ribs down to her hip. It was all new skin under there. "Can you feel that?" I asked.
"It feels good,"
she said, her voice tight, like she was terrified to say anything else. This was a decision for me, but it also wasn't. April had never hurt me just to hurt me, and that mattered. But she had known she was hurting me and done it anyway. I had watched her destroy herself for attention. And here was this small woman, as soft as water, as strong as iron, with the responsibility of the world crashing down on her every moment, just sitting there, texting her mom. But it wasn't the strength that I loved. It wasn't the growth or the change or her face. I loved April. The decision I made was to stop denying myself that love out of spite or fear. I was done holding back. I flattened my hand out and tucked it under her shirt, feeling the seam where the new skin met the old skin on her back, and then I pulled her into me. She tasted like April. We went slow, remembering each other's bodies. It was the best parts of something new, all mixed with the best parts of something comfortable. Even the clumsiness felt like a dance. I had been falling for months, and she caught me. Afterward, I felt more than ever that April was still April. Maybe she had been taught a couple of lessons, but she was still as bold and wild and smart and stupid as the day we met. Sleep came quickly for her, almost like there was a switch in her brain. But for me, what with the species-level threat anxiety, it did not. So I took out my phone. April was the social media icon, but I'm not immune to the scroll. I wanted to know more about Altus. What I found was a lot. The premium space was now open to thousands, and those people had plenty to talk about. One of them was a YouTuber who played video games very well, but also was known for having opinions loudly. I popped in my AirPods and watched his video. "This is going to change everything," he said in a clear, authoritative British accent. "This is like the internet times 1,000. I know that I usually am just on this channel to joke around, but this is..." He seemed at a loss for words before there was a cut, and he continued. "The premium space isn't just about what you can make and sell and build. They found a way to capture the experiences of other people and let you replay those experiences in your head. You think their thoughts, feel their emotions, and live inside of their bodies. You can understand someone completely. We've been searching for a solution to that division that the internet has created, and this might just be it. To truly understand your enemy is maybe to no longer have enemies. Can you imagine? Not just that, but the possibilities for education. You can learn through someone else's understanding. I know the premium space is only open to a few people right now. I'm sure there's lots of testing to do. I can't imagine how difficult this is to pull off, but I've been inside the premium space for less than an hour, and it has already changed my life. And I'm sorry this video is so short, but I need to go back in. I need to see how far this stretches." My skin was crawling. I was thinking about Kurt, you can't joke about anything anymore, Butler, and whether people like him would work to understand me, or if I would be asked once again to understand people like him. Call me a pessimist, but I think if bigotry could be solved by access to more information, it would have been solved by now. Hate isn't about lack of understanding. It's about hate. I ached with anxiety. Powerful people always thought they had the solutions. What they couldn't see was that their power was itself the problem. If only we could truly know each other is a nonsense argument, because even if Altus lets you truly know one mind, there are billions of minds and you simply don't have the time. And what's going to keep you from just visiting the minds you find most comfortable? This felt like an old story, and once again, no one was going to listen. I looked at April, breathing softly beside me. Except maybe her, I thought. I reached my arm across her ribcage. She stirred gently beneath my arm and made a little noise. Jesus, I love her so much. I couldn't help pulling her to me even more tightly. What's even holding us together? She asked me. Love, I said. I guess it's been love the whole time. And then, because I guess she couldn't help herself, she said, also our arms. I laughed so hard and suddenly felt so safe. April, I said, turning around to face her, I want you to be my girlfriend. Okay, she said. I love you. Just like that. After all this time, I propped myself on one elbow and I almost made a joke of it. But then I saw her eyes. I love you too. I reached around her and she nestled her head into my neck. Our bodies pushed together. Warm and human.
April May at April Maybe Not. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of questions, but first I'll just say, it's nice to be back. Here's a video, youtube.com/watch?v=u1dirhgodpm. Janice Ashby at President Ashby. At April Maybe Not, my personal relief and the relief of the nation at this news is immense. Thank you, as always, for your voice in interesting times. Tyler Oakley, at Tyler Oakley. At April Maybe Not. Girl, welcome back. Come to LA, old school collab. Let's eat weird candy and I'll catch you up on the gossip. Francisco, at FOM90. April May is back. And of course, I'm happy she was not killed, but I think there are a lot of questions that are not getting answered, and I think it's important that we start asking them. Death Boy, at Mr. Deathlad. Lefty Twitter is creaming itself over April coming back as if she hasn't proved exactly what she is. We all said she was a traitor to humans, and maybe not even really a human herself, and now look at her. Nothing will convince these people.
Maya. Day 2 of 19. Finally, after thinking and talking and fretting, we made the video public. The world changed, and it didn't. The comments and tweets of support and love flooded in. Everyone from the President of the United States to Howie Mandel was in April's mentions. The direct replies to April were almost all extremely supportive. But out there, almost immediately, we were seeing little quiverings of frustration and angst from the people who wanted to capitalize on people's natural fear of April. The worst thing about these people is that they didn't usually feel fear themselves. They were just using it to get attention and grow their influence. As long as this tactic worked, they would never stop. Weirdly, we spent a lot of that day trying to keep the survey site from crashing. The survey included an opportunity for participants to give us their email address and allow us to email them if we wanted to. And we asked them some basic questions about what they were worried about or struggling with, And we also asked a very general question. How do you feel about Altus? And that question became important. In addition to internet stuff, we also had text messages flooding in. April had already agreed to bring Robin back on to manage her life. Every kind of press outlet wanted April on. An interview, a quote, a single individual strand of hair. Most of those requests had been either declined outright, or she had offered up Andy to discuss the Altus space instead. Robin had pointed out, correctly, that usually people want to give quotes and be on TV to get their message out. Right now, April wasn't having any trouble getting her message out all on her own. So instead, the plan was to sit tight, respond carefully to positive things on the internet, and ignore everything else. In our free time, we would enjoy Mr. Crane's ludicrous apartment, watch Netflix, read Agatha Christie novels, craft careful and cutting communications that weakened Altus, and dive deep into our survey responses. Except there were just too many. Even with the survey page being down for most of the day, we had literally millions of responses to go through. No matter how we filtered, there just wasn't a good way. April and I were griping about this around the black marble countertop in the kitchen when Carl came in and overheard us. Just do a search, Carl said. The searches take forever and we don't know what to search for, April replied. It's just a bunch of dumb data. Most of the useful stuff is in text responses, which is impossible to parse. Monkey Carl made a little hissing noise with their actually monkey throat, which was what went for laughter for them. No, with your mind. You have this power, but you barely ever use it. It hurts her, I said defensively. It's not that, April replied carefully. It's just, it reminds me of that I'm different now. April, you are different now, whether you use it or not, Carl said. But what would I search for? You are tapping into my processing power. You can ask for anything you like. My systems will process it for you. What? April said incredulously. I thought I just got raw data. No. Lord, no. A system collates and returns what you ask for. So I could ask non-specific questions? Of course. How dumb do you think I am? It got strangely normal to talk to a monkey, but it never got normal talking to Carl. I don't know how any of this works. I agreed with her frustration. We'd been living with Carl for weeks, and they hadn't mentioned this. What do you want to know? I want to know what people don't like about Altus. Okay. Yes. That is an example of a question that would not narrow things down effectively. Carl stroked their monkey chin. What about? I need a summary of the main concerns people have with Altus. And that will work? I asked, perplexed. I can predict the future, Carl said, like I was being silly. I looked over to April, and she had her eyes closed. Suddenly, her jaw tensed and her head tilted forward. Holy shit, she said. What? Well, I know why people don't like Altus. I mean, at least the people who responded to the survey. Holy shit. Like, exactly. And? 66% cited economic concerns, 37% cited social concerns, like that a loved one was addicted. 32% cited concerns about inequality of access, and 12% cited concerns that Altus use would exacerbate the cultural divide. I opened a Google Doc to start writing things down, but it wouldn't open. I think the internet is down. Yes, Carl replied. Well, that does happen sometimes with larger queries. It will be back up shortly. So it was you, I said, thinking of the internet outages in South Jersey. The survey always looked a little calculated to anyone who knew how the internet worked. We were collecting email addresses and also information about people. That would be valuable, even if we just wanted to sell them shirts. But it actually turned out to be a lot colder and more calculating than we intended it to be. We were able to segment people into groups and create different messages for each of them. People who were worried about their loved ones got one email. People who were worried about inequality got a different one. And then we took it a step further. April was able to create a list of the people who were most upset about each issue, and we created a private chat for them to organize. We tapped into some of my contacts from the SOM to help moderate and mobilize them. They would try out new tweets and posts, promote each other's ideas like others' tweets, support each other emotionally, craft messages, and pile on when people were being extra idiotic about Altus. In a little less than a week, using only data from a survey, some trained moderators, and a superhuman AI analysis engine, we were political operatives. We were, in effect, organizing an army of social media accounts to affect public opinion, like the Russian government. Except, it was just two women in an apartment that they could not leave. And we did it all entirely in secret.
Partial transcript. Startup Watch Podcast with Randall Bolt.
Today we're talking about Altus Laboratories, which has just made an announcement that it's shaking up not just digital media, but the entire economy. Altus recently raised a couple $1 billion at a valuation of $500 billion. A private company has never been this valuable before, and no company has ever grown this fast before. It took Facebook 12 years to reach a $500 billion valuation. Altus has done it in less than a year. But that's old news. This news is, I'll be honest with you, not easy for an old fogey like me to understand. So today, we have on the podcast none other than Andy Scampt, friend of April May, and early entrant to the Altus premium space. Andy, thank you for coming on the podcast today. First, how did you take it when you found out April was alive and well?
I think, as you might expect, it was a shock. And also, it was a huge relief. Good news for the world, and honestly, I'm just glad to have my friend back.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. What do you think of this new Altus announcement?
Well, if you'll let me correct you, Altus has, in effect, made three massive announcements here, nearly simultaneously.
Correct away!
First, a broader opening of the Altus premium space to over 1 million people. Remember, just a few weeks ago, the premium space was shrouded in mystery and only available to a select few people, myself included. A good bit has been said about the premium space, but as someone who has spent time there, I can guarantee you it really is world-changing.
Before you get to the second thing, just give me one way it is revolutionary.
Oh, well, that's easy. Just imagine being able to literally learn how to play piano in your sleep. That's not an exaggeration.
Okay, yeah, I mean, those of us who haven't used it hear stuff like that, and we just assume that it's more marketing. It's too good to be true.
It's not.
Well, this brings us to the second thing, the thing that I need you to explain to me, because I don't quite get why it's such a big deal.
Okay, well, you know that a number of private companies have wanted very much to have their own monetary systems decoupled from international systems.
Yes, and that's always been folly. Governments don't like it, and as we've seen with Bitcoin, it might be a wild investment, but it doesn't function super well as a currency. It's too easy to manipulate, too volatile.
Well, here's the thing. Right now, if you want to learn piano while you sleep, or really do anything besides make things yourself, you have to pay Altus. And you can only pay them in Altcoin. And until this week, the only way to get Altcoin was from Altus. They've created a bunch of it themselves, but there's a limited supply, and so the value of the coins had been going up, so they've been getting more expensive, and people are hoarding them. But now Altus has opened up the ability to mine Altcoin on your own, as long as you have a VR headset.
This is the thing I don't get. To mine cryptocurrency, don't you need fancy computers doing fancy math?
Altcoin isn't technically a cryptocurrency. Actually, it isn't entirely clear what it is or what we should call it. but you can buy it on the market, or you can mine it inside of the open access Altus space. Basically, you enter the space and then select the mining protocol. You then just sleep, and in the morning, you see what you made.
So you just have to sleep and you can mine these coins?
That's about the size of it. You mine a base amount per minute, but occasionally you will come across a full coin, which is at this point worth around $50. I hope that this is a way to help make the Altus space more accessible, because right now, it is a platform that has a lot of power, and it should be available to more than just well-off folks like myself.
As long as you can afford an 8K headset.
Indeed. That is a real problem.
But that's not it. There is a third thing?
Yes. Now, this is a little weird, and I've not actually seen it put to use yet. But Altus has been capturing experiences and putting them up for sale on the Altus Premium space since the beginning. But now, they say, with the help of a device, an expensive device, you can capture your own experiences and sell them yourself on the marketplace.
You're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that I could buy this piece of equipment and then capture my brain's experience of, say, recording a podcast, and then I could sell it, and people would be able to... What exactly?
They'd basically experience this moment exactly as you are experiencing it. They'd get to think all of your same thoughts and feel what it's like to be you.
If it's all the same to you, I'd rather not. So, do you think, given these changes, that Altus is actually worth $500 billion?
I'm not a banker, Randall, but my guess is Altus is worth a heck of a lot more than that. Andy. Day 4 of 19. What lesson did I learn from destroying my first real-feeling romantic relationship of maybe my entire life? Nothing. Fuck it, I was an Altus hound now. I gave up my mission of trying to be universally liked and likable, and got myself a brand new brand. I was going to be the Altus guy. People were going to look to me for opinions on Altus, and that was going to be good, because then, when it was time for us to take them down or change them or make them not so evil, I would be in a position to have more influence. At least, that's what I told myself. Every news outlet in the world was begging for experts on Altus. It had completely taken over Carl's place in the center of cultural interest, and I was recognizable, reliable, and articulate. Robin had me booked on TV, radio, and podcasts whenever I wanted it. Slain spotting? Jason asked me as I walked in the door from doing an in-studio interview at a morning news show. I'm so wiped right now, I told him. We hadn't recorded in 2 weeks. Fuck you, he said, and not in a nice way. Gee, sorry, man. It's just been really busy. Well, not for me. What do you mean? He was fuming. I hadn't really been paying much attention to him, but now that I took a look, he seemed in bad shape. Stubble, greasy hair, wearing an old unwashed graphic tee. What's going on? I asked him. He notices. Finally, everyone witness. Andy Scamped has noticed something that is not himself. Jesus, man, why are you being such a dick? Oh, I don't know, maybe because I got laid off 2 weeks ago, along with like half of my coworkers, and you haven't, in that entire time, asked me how I'm doing. Shit, man, I said, thinking about it. He wasn't wrong. We'd talked, of course, but there had been the disaster with Bex, and April coming back, and all of the work with the thread and Altus. I thought through all of that, and either it was stuff I couldn't tell him or terrible excuses. Jason, I'm sorry. You're okay, though, right? Like you didn't really need the money from that job. He stood up from the chair at the kitchen table. You know, you can be a really shitty person sometimes. He grabbed his jacket and left our apartment, slamming the door behind him. I didn't have time to deal with it. I sat down and opened my computer to look at the thread. The only person in the thread who had any idea that I was who I was still one, and they were spending more and more time talking with me. 12. What do you think about Altus? 1. Oh, you know. I think they're the inevitable manifestation of pure inhuman capitalism, and I can see them someday having so much power that just the unintended consequences of their actions could have deeply devastating effects on society. 12. Oh, is that all? 1. LOL. No, it's to say nothing of what could be done with that power if it were used to intentionally control people. 1. Are you comfortable with living this double life? It has to be unpleasant. 12. The opposite. I kind of love it. 1. Tell me more about that. 12. I don't think it's entirely healthy, but it feels good. It feels good to be gathering credibility in secret, to have a plan no one knows about. 1. A kind of power, then. You know things the rest of the world does not, a lie that no one could know you're telling. 12. Yes, that. But also more than that, if you're trying to live right and good and correct, it's slow and complicated and scary. But if you just need to get something done, you can do whatever you want. A little while passed and one didn't reply, so I added, 12. It doesn't matter what people think of me. I'm doing what is necessary, and if people hate me for it, it doesn't matter. 1. Your purpose changed. 12. What? 1. Your purpose used to be to have people like you and to have a positive effect on them. That's paralyzing because always people will hate someone as powerful as you. Always you're going to hurt people accidentally. Now your purpose is the plan. Your purpose is to be a respected leader on the topic of Altus so you can turn your coat at the right moment. 12. Yeah. Yes. That is definitely it. But also, maybe not all of it. If we're going to really look right into the darkness here, I think it's important to recognize that I also just like being able to indulge in the power. Even if the new purpose is the thing that opened that door, on the other side of the door is an excuse to do exactly the thing that brings me the most power. April was definitely right that you can only pretend to be something for so long before you become it. And so I stood in the barrage of whatever backlash I got, more and more certain that I was doing the right thing. My plan lined up with my desires, but still I sometimes felt the sting of my conscience. Shayla, at not Shaylin. I don't understand how at Andy Scamped can be so gung-ho about Altus. There are 1,000 reasons to be really wary and skeptical of that company and how they're running things. This feels like a betrayal of everything you stand for, or stood for, I guess. Rose, at ARY Words. At Andy Scamped went from thoughtful goober to Altus fanboy in 0.5 seconds the moment a shiny object came by. Just goes to show, none of this is about actual principles, it's just about preserving power. Those tweets hurt because I wanted to shout at them that this was all part of the plan and that they were being mean to someone who really was on their side. And they got a lot of likes and shares. But they also hurt because they were right. I fucking loved the Altus space. And then there was another category of tweet that stabbed me pretty deep. Here's 2 versions of that one, one from each side. Gordon Bank, at BLH Gordon. I love that at Andy Scamped has finally freed himself from the spell of at April Maybe Not and become a huge fan of her toughest critic. She was always full of shit, and it's so obvious that he knows that now. Blank, at Blankenship, Kansas. Hey, at Andy Scamped. You want to ever say anything about the fact that you're publicly promoting a product from a guy who basically killed your best friend? Or are you just going to be a complete coward instead? Direct questions are the worst. Cops must know this. When someone asks you a question, it is really, really hard not to answer it. It's even harder when people dig up old tweets and put them side by side with new ones and you can't really explain the discrepancy. And then other people see the discrepancy and they start liking and retweeting and rephrasing. And they also see your silence. And your silence looks like an answer. It's an extremely effective interrogation tactic, and most people eventually crack and make either a tearful apology or an enraged counterattack. This is why Twitter callouts tend to end so badly, Apology is never enough, and probably shouldn't be. So you're basically being asked to willingly give up power for no clear end. The best people actually do that. But the real shitfucks go on the offense, and then their communities get an infusion of victimhood narrative straight into their veins. Which is why my response to controversy had changed. Let's go through these tweets. Shayla, at not Shaylin, replying to at Andy Scamped. I don't understand how at Andy Scamped can be so gung-ho about Altus. There are 1,000 reasons to be really wary and skeptical of that company and how they're running things. This feels like a betrayal of everything you stand for. Or stood for, I guess. Andy Scamped. At Andy Scamped. At not Shaylin, this is the greatest tool that has ever been made. This won't just change how we learn, it will change how we understand each other. I'm betraying nothing. Rose. At ARY Words. Replying to, at not Shaylin. At Andy Scamped went from thoughtful goober to Altus fanboy in 0.5 seconds the moment a shiny object came by. Just goes to show, none of this is about actual principles. It's just about preserving power. Andy Scamped. At Andy Scamped. At ARY Words, I know that the internet cycle is always to tear down things that attempt to build the world up, but you don't have to be so mean about it. Andy Scamped. At Andy Scamped. Someone tell Gordon that being interested in the most important innovation since the written word is different from being a critic of my best friend. Andy Scamped. At Andy Scamped. Look at this guy who thinks he understands my relationship with my best friend better than I do. Fuck off, Kenny. That's how you win. Don't give an inch, ever. Each of those tweets got more attention than they would have if I hadn't replied to them. But by replying, I turned them into content to build my new audience. So yes, one was right. I had a new way of getting meaning now. I used to get meaning from having money and having people like me and also maybe being good and kind. I wanted people to understand that we are a trash fire of a species, but also most people are pretty cool. But that was done with. I didn't want to help people anymore, as gross as that sounds. Altus was a new wave for me to surf, and it had the advantage of being part of a strategy to help make this big, hypothetical thing happen, to eliminate Altus. Also, engagement on my tweets was up 200%, and I was on news programs and podcasts every day. I could never have done it with my old purpose. Just a month before, when people were mad at me, I would do everything I could to defuse it. I'd have long Twitter conversations with strangers just to try and understand the true source of a conflict. I'd listen way more than I talked. Now, controversy was good. Drama was good. I wanted to be very clearly on the side of Altus, even if part of doing that authentically was maintaining some modicum of critique. Being liked seemed like some boring, sad, selfish thing from these new eyes. My goal now was to help control, or bring down, or, who knows, maybe even someday be in charge of the most important invention in human history. Who cared if people fucking liked me? It was also extremely isolating. I wanted Bex back, but she had ghosted me. I texted her a pretty good apology after my fuck-up. Let me dig it up. Bex, that was possibly the most disrespectful thing I've ever done. I'm very sorry. I'm not going to make excuses for it. If you ever want to have coffee and see if I can make it up to you, let me know. She did eventually write back. Thank you for reaching out. I'm very busy right now, but I'll let you know. That read to me like a pretty firmly closed door. I told myself it wasn't a big deal. I didn't really want a relationship now anyway. I was stressed out, hyper-focused, and when I wasn't in the space, I was in the thread. And both of those things felt like a very good use of time. In the space, I could learn and travel and hear the thoughts of strangers, all instead of sleeping. I was learning Spanish. Being inside a native speaker's head was revolutionary. I'd only been doing it for a week, and already I was able to watch this Spanish drama about a 1940s cruise ship mostly without looking at the subtitles. And they talked fucking fast. There was no doubt that my productivity had exploded. The Altus space really was an incredible tool. If only it could be used well and open to everyone. I kinda loved it. I kinda wanted to protect it. But my goal was to destroy it, right? I mean, you can only pretend to be something for so long before you become it.
Maya, day 7 of 19. Andy would come over every couple of days to check in and bring us supplies. Today, he had brought us a fancy exercise bike, because no matter how fantastic an apartment you live in, it sucks to never leave it for weeks on end. Every time Andy came by, he looked worse. He was always lanky, but it looked like he had lost weight. He and I were talking about Altus while we unpacked the bike. O sea, es todo lo que dicen sé. Si acaso es más, he said. I mean, that sounds like Spanish, I said. I said that if anything, Altus is more than what they say it is, I think. Well, probably not exactly. I'm still learning. So you speak Spanish now? Básicamente, he said. Fuck, April said from where she watched us on the couch. And I don't even know if that's the most powerful thing it can do. Being inside of a native speaker's mind is, he couldn't explain it. Like, really understanding what someone else is thinking. Ugh, I rolled my eyes. What? Andy said. Nothing. No, like, if I'm missing something, tell me. Okay, I haven't done this, but what is it like when you're inside of someone's head who is like you? Like when you're having the experience of another 20-something white guy versus when you're in the mind of someone who isn't like you? Well, I mean, it's work. It's a lot of work to be in someone else's mind. Things don't make sense sometimes, especially when they're different, like older or from another country. Then it's definitely more work. But it's work worth doing. And I think you'll do it. I just don't think most people will. Altus doesn't seem to be designed to help people work harder. I think most people will find the thing they're comfortable with and stick with it. Just like we've done for the last 100,000 years of being human. He looked a little chastened, like I was telling him he couldn't have his opinion because he was too white. I get that. But then he pushed past it. On the other hand, we've gotten better in the last 100,000 years. This could be part of that. April was looking a little spooked by the whole conversation. I hadn't talked about this with her yet. I probably should have dropped it, but I couldn't. Maybe, I said. But how popular do you think an experience of a black person thinking really nasty thoughts about white people would be? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but some white folks really like finding ways to be the victim. He pushed his lips together and looked around the room. I see your point, he said. And I think he did. But I also think he was thinking that all of this complicated social shit really did get in the way sometimes. But he wasn't going to say that out loud to me. I was extra nice to Andy for the rest of the visit because, you know, that's what I have to do, I guess. After he was gone, April and I were sitting on the couch organizing our army of social media activists. Carl was curled up at April's side. I hadn't thought of any of that stuff before you brought it up, she said. I mean, I thought, of course, the space would be bad for inequality because fundamentally some people can't access it, either because they can't afford to or because of body dislocation. She thought for a minute and then said, but you're right. People will just share the things that confirm their ideology, and those things will always exist. Our reality isn't about what's real. It's about what we pay attention to.
CNBC interview between anchor Stephen Jacobs and investment strategist Lindsay McAllis. Joining us today on Market Showdown is Lindsay McAllis. And Lindsay, wow, today has been a showdown. Nothing is up except one thing. What is an investor to do on a day like today? We were already in a recession. A drop like this is unthinkable. The market is back to the 90s. Is this the time to buy?
Stephen, no asset manager wants to be the one to call a panic, but it now might be time to panic. We don't have granular data right now, but our early research is indicating that every metric is bad. Consumer confidence is down, consumer spending is down, unemployment is up, and worse, labor participation is cratering. I think the bottom is a long way away from where we're at right now.
That is something to say in a world where we're already down over 60% from highs.
Assets are moving into two places, heavy metals and cryptocurrency. And the vast majority moving into crypto is in altcoin. This isn't a normal restructuring. It's not that the market was overvalued. We're already in a recession. No, I think the market is waking up to the fact that the old ways may actually be over. People who have been to the premium altis space are assuming that a fairly significant portion of the U.S. economy is going to take place only inside of that one company. And since it's not publicly traded, the only way to capitalize on it without resorting to private markets is altcoin. It's up 500%, Stephen, and this time I actually don't think it's a bubble. People don't need to spend money if they're living their whole lives inside altis. If anything, the rest of the economy is the bubble.
April, day 9 of 19. This was when our campaign to hurt Altus's public image caught fire. Many people were angry at Altus before. There were people who understood the sociology of Altus and were concerned, and others who had lost friends or family to addiction, to Altus, or even to the increasing number of Altus-related deaths. But if you really want public opinion to turn against you, come for the economy. As the Altus premium space was rolled out to hundreds of thousands and then millions, people rushed to mine altcoin at the expense of pretty much everything else. Layoffs were rampant. Some retirement accounts were down 70%. Carl's brother didn't care. Economic anxiety just made people easier to manipulate. People could hate Altus all they wanted. Companies don't close because people dislike them. But we were hoping maybe public opinion would be a part of the solution. So we hired a company to do a tracking poll, to call people and ask them what their opinions on Altus were. Every day we were seeing an increase in people with negative views of the company, including lots of people who actually used Altus. The tide was turning. Unfortunately, Altus had a big ship, and it was well out to sea. Day 12 of 19. We got a little glimpse of something beautiful for a while. At Robin and Maya's urging, I didn't tweet anything but replies or links the entire time we stayed in that apartment. If I wanted to say something, I had two ways of doing it. One, I could make a video, which I did, but only a few times. Two, I could do a podcast. Podcasts were nice because they lasted a long time. When you did a radio or TV interview, you had to squish every thought into 5 or 10 minutes. Everything was talking points and nothing was nuance. Podcasts gave you time. You could think together with the host, and it felt natural. I did that a little bit, each time setting up an encrypted call so that no one could trace us, even though apparently Carl could protect us from snooping. In public, I was calm and as non-controversial as I could manage. Yes, I subtly dropped hints about how Altus was making people more anxious and less connected, but I didn't say anything confrontational. I left that to the armies we had created. And they had, in such a short time, become extremely powerful. We had been able to segment people into over 500 small groups of 100 or so people with specific concerns and demographic similarities. One person from each of these groups was elected to be a representative in a central committee group. There were around 30 central committees, and each of them sent a representative to the leadership chat. That final group was the only one that Maya and I talked to directly. Each one of those 30 people represented roughly 3,000, for a total of 90,000 people in our little army. They were the 90,000 most dedicated, most concerned, least likely to rat us out individuals from the more than 50 million who had ended up responding to our survey. I know 90,000 people doesn't sound like a lot, and it's not. But if they're organized and work together, they can make things look big when they're small, or small when they're big. They can weaken arguments and drown out disagreement. And it was working. The tide was turning against Altus. It didn't hurt that the world was dystopian as fuck. The moment people could make good money in the Altus space, a lot of people had just stopped going to their jobs. Some people, desperate for the success that first adopters had seen, were cutting every corner they could to maximize the money they were keeping in AltaCoin. That included, apparently, foregoing rent payments and eventually living on the streets with their headsets chained to metal cuffs on their necks. Congress was investigating Altus and also investigating what laws they could write that would limit it, but they were coming up against the limits of their own power. Altus wasn't an American company. It was based in Valverde, and they were giving the government of Valverde so much money that international pressure wasn't having an effect. It was looking increasingly like Altus had become Valverde. Forcing laws on them was starting to look roughly as difficult as forcing laws on another nation. Partial transcript. Walk With Us podcast. Adam DiCostanzo.
This is the Walk With Us podcast. I talk to interesting people, and you take a walk. And today, we're a little bit overwhelmed that our guest has agreed to talk with us. It's April May. Usually I do an intro in this space, but you know who April May is. In fact, it's much more likely that you don't know who I am. I'm Adam. I have a podcast where I interview people and, at least I hope, the people listening take a walk. Maybe by themselves, maybe with someone they like or love, or maybe have just met. It's cheesy, I know. And it's also not a particularly popular show, so I guess I should start by asking, April, well, why on earth did you want to come on my little podcast?
Because I like it. Things are really loud right now, and they're scary, and everyone has a lot of opinions. But it seems like you're really asking people listening, your guests, even yourself, you're asking us all to listen, to slow down. I don't know that we do enough listening these days, and I've been trying to do more of it. So that's why, because I want more people to listen.
Well, I have to say, I appreciate your time and your kind words very much.
Day 15 of 19. Why is Altus so dangerous? Maya asked me one morning. While we were listening to the Lily Allen album my mind had chosen to play over Josh Crane's home stereo system and organizing our army of Altus resistance agents. I mean, you've made several good cases, I told her. Inequality, division, complete economic collapse. But we've been through all of those things before. I looked up and saw her eyebrows scrunch together. She was actually worrying about this. Why is Carl so sure that we're going to destroy ourselves? Why haven't they told us what they think is so scary? It felt like we'd been over this, but thinking back, maybe we hadn't. I hate to say it, but I often just took Carl's word for things. Maya was more likely to have concerns. Well, we haven't asked, I said. And then I shouted, "Hey, Carl!" We were getting used to our new life, and that included feeling a little